The following is a sermon from Pastor Timothy Borman and Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
I have printed there for you in your bulletin on page 10. I also invite you to get out your Bible app if you'd like to see a little bit more of the context here in Romans, in Romans chapter 8. What is the Bible? In front of you. We're going to read that verse in just a moment together as we think about groaning here. Last week, we said that the book of Romans is like a ring. And it's a ring that God gives to his spouse that he loves. And then we said that Romans chapter 8 is like that brilliant, shining diamond that sits in that ring. And that's true about the book of Romans and about Romans chapter 8. But I want to use a different comparison here this morning. There's a 16th century Swiss Reformed theologian. His name was Friedrich Gadeck. And he said that the book of Romans is the cathedral of the Christian faith. And he went on to say that we're not sure. He said, we're not sure how we're supposed to look at this cathedral because there's a part of us that wants to admire the greatness of it. How big and awesome and transcendent is this book. But there's also a part of us that wants to admire the finished details. And I think all of us can kind of feel that tension as we look at the book of Romans, especially Romans chapter 8, because there's a part of us that just wants to say, wow, because the Apostle Paul, he absolutely takes us from earth itself, and he whisks us all the way up to heaven itself. Especially in Romans chapter 8. But then there's a part of us, as we walk through this medieval cathedral that is the book of Romans, that wants to pause and consider all the intricate carvings, the frescoes, the paintings, and the statues. Just enjoy it. Today, we're not just standing in the cathedral of the Christian faith. Today, in Romans chapter 8, we are standing in the Holy Place. We are standing in the inner sanctuary of our Lord. And look, there is a part of you that wants to see the greatness of it all. And if you want to do that, I'm going to tell you to do something. Binge listen to our sermon series on our podcast. And you will see the greatness of God's grace for us. But there's a part of you, just even a little part of you, that wants to pause and admire the intricate details and tune into this sermon. I want to tell you why. Maybe you're thinking, why did we hit the break right before Romans 8:28? It's everybody's favorite passage, right? We're not even going to get to Romans 8:28. We're going to stop right here at Romans 8:26. Why should you tune in and look at this one little intricate detail? I'll tell you why. Because some of you are being smart. And you don't even know what to pray for. You don't even know how to word it. You don't even know what you're really wanting for the final outcome. And if that's you, you're going to want to pay attention to this. But for the rest of you, that day is coming. Today is coming, maybe when you're going to get that phone call in the middle of the night and you know you're saying to yourself, this can't be good. And when you hang up the phone, there will be no words. And when you're in that moment, when you are in that moment and there are no words, that's when I want you to remember this word. That's when I want you to remember this word of God. Can we pray together? And then we're going to get into this. Let's pray together. Spirit of God. Some people here today already don't have words. Some of us will not have words in the future. And there are no words, and there are only groans. Holy Spirit, groan with us. Holy Spirit, groan for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's our verse for today. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. This is the word of the Lord. I remember, I grew up in Minnesota. I remember it was a beautiful July day. And we were at one of those 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. And my brothers and I, my dad, we were throwing the fish lines into the water. We put a little worm on there, drop it in off the dock. And it was literally just 30 seconds or a minute in that little bower. You've ever been before. We're not better water. And as a little boy, I'd get all excited, like, wow, I caught one. We reel it in. I mean, it was a beautiful day. The sun was shining, the fish were biting, and we were on one of those 10,000 lakes in Minnesota. It was a little boy's dream come true. And every time we take those little fish off the hook, and we'd stick them in this little basket underneath the dock, and we'd save them up, and we'd fill that thing up. Perch, the sunnies, beautiful. And then, after a few hours of catching fish like that, it was time to make supper, because that's what we did. We'd fry up the fish right away. And we pulled that basket of fish out, and my dad took it into the cleaning house. And have you ever been to one of those things that just kind of rots in there with the fish? And my dad got out a fillet knife. It's one of those knives, if you've ever seen one, you can bend it back and forth. It's very flexible, so you can gut the fish and clean the fish. And I remember, with my little boy eyes, watching my dad do that. He'd pull one fish out, and it would still be alive. The gills would be going like this, back and forth. And then he'd take the knife, and he'd plunge it in the fish. From front to back, he would take the meat off, all the way to the tail. And I was horrified. I was absolutely horrified as a young boy, and I said to my dad, I said, Dad, does the fish feel that? And he got down on my level. He bent down, and he said to me, son, he said to me, all creation. He says, that's what the Bible says. It's in Romans chapter 8. He said to me, son, all creation groans, and that moment was burned in my little mind. You know, every time I walk into a fish market, you know, the ones, yeah, the ice and there's dead fish everywhere, and the octopuses and whatever else people eat and buy, the snails and all those special things, I think about that. All creation groans. Every time I see one of those semi-trucks filled with pigs, and you know where they're going. I thank all creation. Every time I walk into a butcher shop, you can kind of see the dead animals hanging there. Or when I see one of the boiled beavers, you know, the live chickens, and they just wring their necks right in front of you, I think all creation groans. That's what I think. But it's not just creation that groans. We do too. The Apostle Paul is actually really emphatic leading up to our verse today about this. He's very, very emphatic. In fact, he goes overboard and says it four times. He says, we ourselves, we ourselves, we ourselves, we ourselves groan. And I've learned that lesson too. There was, you know, pastors, they go to hospitals, and I'll never forget one time I went to a hospital, and I walked into somebody's room, and I knew this person was dying. He had cancer, basically from head to toe. And I said, I'd like to share a word of God with you from Romans chapter 8. And he said, Pastor, thank you so much for coming. I want you to pray with me too. And he said, but if I start to throw up, just step out of the room for a minute. I said, okay, that's what we'll do. And so we started into the devotion. We started talking about this word of God, and I had to step out for a minute. And that's kind of how it went. And I drove home after that little visit, and I found out that a few hours later, Jesus called him home. I think I know what the Apostle Paul means when he's so emphatic about it in Romans chapter 8. We ourselves, we ourselves, we ourselves groan. And when you start to understand the groaning of creation and our own groaning, then you're starting to understand what the Apostle Paul means in those first three words of our verse today. Because this is what he says. In the same way. And that's a comparison. It's a very simple comparison. He's saying, in the same way that fish struggled as it tried to breathe oxygen, and as that knife slipped along its bones, in the same way, the Spirit grows. In the same way that Christian brother whose body was wrecked with cancer, as he cried out and he groaned, in the same way, the Apostle Paul said, in that way, the Spirit groans. I think this is true. I think this is true that you could actually make this case. We could make the case this morning that of all of the chapters in the Bible, you know what the loudest one is? This one. This is the loudest chapter of the Bible because we don't even, this isn't a solo, okay? It's not just all of creation that is growing. This isn't just we ourselves and creation. It's not just a duet that's happening here. This is actually, I think you call it, a trio. Creation is growing. We are growing. God is growing. And I think we need to know that. Don't you think so too, that God is growing? It's not like I mean, some Christians are absolutely scandalous. They're scandalized by this to think God feels our pain. Well, he cannot feel pain. But I think we need to know that God is with us. That he feels it in the same way that we feel it. And because he feels it, he doesn't just sigh. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's much deeper than that. It is much deeper than that. It is something that when you feel that pain, it just wells inside of you. And what comes out of you is a problem. In the same way, the Spirit of God. But that's not all He's doing for us. He's not just with us in our groaning. He's not just with us in our pain. The Apostle Paul goes on to say this: the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So in other words, the Apostle Paul wants you to know that prayer is actually a partnership. It's a very close partnership. And if you look at the word help a little bit closer, what you see is that this is a word that has two prepositions hanging on in Greek. So in other words, you don't ever pray alone. Neither does the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer partnership. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And so he's not sort of giving you a free pass. We're going to just let the Holy Spirit pray for us. No. It's not that at all. But it is a prayer partnership. So picture it this way. You are at we're doing Minnesota this morning. Okay, you're a logger. You're a logger, and there's a giant log across your path. And you think, I can't do that by myself, but I can maybe pick up one end. Pick it up. Spirit picks up the other end. And together, you move that over off the side. This is what this prayer partnership looks like. You groan under the weight of it. The Spirit groans under the weight of it. And together, you pray to God, and that log in your life is moved off to the side. Is this making sense? And to me, this is the best kind of comfort that there is. There's a best-selling author. Her name is Dawn Days. And she writes about, she's got a blog and a number of best-selling books. And she writes about running. She writes about parenting and things like that. But the very most popular and well-known phrase that she's ever written, it's actually become a bit of an internet meme out there. It's out there on Pinterest if you're on the internet. And Facebook is this. This is what she said. Where there are no words, know the silences are carrying the thoughts and prayers of all who love you. I'll read it again. Okay? Where there are no words, know the silences are carrying the thoughts and prayers of all who love you. Now, if you're a great theologian, you're probably thinking to yourself, that's not quite right. But I think what we can say, and what she's picking up on, is the pain. Right? Those moments in time where there are no words. Because there are times in our life when there just aren't words. There are times when our children are sick. There are times when our spouse hurts us or anything. There are times when friends betray us. There are times when our bodies give out on us. There are times when we think that the darkness and the depression that we're living in just is never going to go away. There are times when we're just not sure what we can say. And we feel like we can't even throw words at the problem because it's just too big. It's just beyond us. And what the Apostle Paul wants to say is when you are in that moment, when you are there, when you are in that darkness and in that silence, and you can only groan, when you are in that place, Holy Spirit not only groans with us, He groans for us. Before we move away from this passage from Romans 8:26, I want to remind you about a couple things, and especially I want to explore a little bit longer God's relationship with groaning. Okay? What is God's relationship with groaning? First of all, I want you to understand this. God hears groans. God hears groans. When the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, their cry went up to God. God heard. When the Israelites were oppressed by the Philistines and the Moabites, God heard their prayer. When we struggle with death and we thought, what are we going to do as God's people? God heard that prayer. When we felt the terrible weight of our sins and our guilt, and we groaned underneath that weight, God heard that prayer. That's point number one. God hears groans. Second thing I want you to understand is God doesn't just hear groans, He does something about it. When the Israelites were groaning in Egypt, God heard that prayer and He sent Moses. When the Israelites were underneath the captivity of the neighbors, the Philistines, God heard that prayer, He heard that groan, and He sent King Saul. When God heard our groans of death, He sent Jesus to rise from the dead. When we groaned under the terrible weight of our sin, He sent Jesus to the cross, and there He groaned for us. So God not only hears groans, He does something about it. Now here's point number three. Because I want you to go home today without any doubt that God will hear your groans, that He will do something about it. And this is a bit simplistic, I know, and it's going to sound a bit stupid. But I think it's very comforting. God will hear God. I told you it was simplistic. But God cannot reject His own prayer. Right? I mean, that's very simple to understand. So, when Jesus dies for us, and then Jesus sends His own Spirit to pray for us, God's going to hear that prayer. God cannot reject God. God is not, He's not some schizophrenic that, on the one hand, He's going to send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to be with us and pray for us, and then on the other hand, say, I don't think I want to answer that prayer today. That's not how God works. I mean, God will hear God. Right? So we have every reason to believe today that God will hear groans, and that He's just not going to be like so your best friend swings his arm around you and then says, oh, so sorry for you. That the Spirit will rise up and grow with you, for you, and in Jesus' name, He will do something about it. He will do something about it. Okay, so we're done. This is Romans 8:26. Here's the thing. There's a tension, right? We could spend the rest of today talking about Romans 8:26, but in some sense we shouldn't. We haven't gotten to Romans 8:28 yet. we got to see the fact that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. And then we got to keep going, right? We got to keep going and get to the part where God says that we are more than conquerors. And we got to get to the part where it says, nothing can separate us from God's love. That's where we're going. You're not going to want to miss it. But do you agree that it was worthwhile? Just, you know, how long? 20 minutes? But think about God who groans with us and for us. Amen.